This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
So let's talk about the new 2025 tax bill that just has been passed. And let's talk about it from my perspective and my perspective as a storage owner. We'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. My name's Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses a lot of the training that I offer smaller investors who want to get in or who want to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about the products and the services I offer at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Now, in full disclosure, I'm not a big fan of the person in the White House right now, and almost hesitated to do this episode, but I'm changing how I do my thinking about the next year, the next few years, and particularly I'm changing some of the things I'm underwriting as I look at self-storage opportunities. So I thought I'd share this episode from my perspective as a self-storage owner and how I think this massive bill may impact us. Now keep in mind, this is from my perspective, and as my wife reminds me quite frequently, I'm very often wrong. So nothing I say is set in stone. This is just my perspective on it. Now, there's no way I can cover everything that was in this bill, because I don't even know everything that's in this bill, but from what I've studied on some of the tax implications that will affect our industry, that's what I want to talk about. But there was a lot of other tax reform and tax changes in this bill. Low-income housing credits were increased and allotted. There's new manufacturing incentives. The lower personal tax rates have been memorialized and that's now permanent. There's a lot of tax implications all across the board. I just want to focus on what I picked out are things that will affect the self-storage industry from my perspective. But first, before we even get to the bill, let's talk about a win in Florida. Florida House Bill 7031 was passed. Florida House Bill 7031 repeals the state tax on rental income, including self-storage. I think it's effective, goes into effect October 1, 2025. It also states, House Bill 7031 states, that local municipalities cannot add a new tax on rental income, including self-storage. I've done a lot of business in Florida. Many of the people I work with do a lot of business in Florida. We're building our construction company for some clients right now are building in Florida. This will really help Florida self-storage owners. I'll be very curious to see how the state of Florida makes up this lost income if they do so. Now, let's get to the big federal tax bill that's just been passed. Regardless of what I think about it politically, the overall view is at least now we have some clarity on tax law, tax reform, and the implications of this new bill. Clarity is always good for real estate investing. However, my overall, and we'll talk about it towards the end, one of my bigger concerns about this is more on a macro level, that this bill really doesn't do a whole lot and actually could increase inflation and prolong higher interest rates. Don't know that. That's just a concern of mine as I look at the overall impact of this bill. But let's now jump into some of the specifics. A big win, in my opinion, is bonus depreciation restored. Bonus depreciation is restored for 100% deductible in year one for assets placed in service. And this is retro back to January 19th, 2025. I guess 47 wants to memorialize the day he took office in the tax bill. What this means is, if you do major asset repair work like replace doors, resurface, fencing, any asset that used to be deducted over 20 years now can be 100% deducted in year one, even generating operational tax losses if need be. It's a major win for self-storage owners, and it will allow us to spend more money to upgrade the facilities. Another win, potential win anyway, is opportunity zones expanded and made permanent and extended. So this new legislation apparently broadens the geographical reach of the opportunity zones. And it says that the opportunity zones will be defined geographically every 10 years. I guess that will be based on the then demographics that come out with the new census. So when the opportunity zones were created under President 45, they allowed investment in these opportunity zones from the sale of any asset, not just real estate, but any asset that generated a capital gain. You could roll the sales proceeds or any portion of it you wanted into these opportunity zones, and the then due capital gain was deferred until 2026. And if you went in earlier at the initial creation of the opportunity zones, your tax basis was reduced. And each year after 2017, the benefits became slightly less and less and less. I can remember rushing to get money into an opportunity zone so I could get the 10% step down in basis. Now, under the new bill, 5 years after your money goes in, you get that 10% step down. If you pay the capital gain at that point, after within 5 years, you receive that 10% step down. Each 5-year period after the initial 5-year period, the basis goes up 10%. For rural projects, not in urban areas, the step up can be as severe as 30%. But for most of us, it's going to be 10% step up in basis every 5 years on the gain due on the money that went in the opportunity zone. I think I've got that right. These changes can make opportunity zones really another tool in our briefcase that we can use to help lock in some of the profits. And it'll be another tool that I think will be utilized just more than it has been in the past. And it's another tool like the 1031 tax deferred exchange that many of us have used and loved over the years. So let's talk about the ugly, in my opinion, that's going to affect our industry, maybe considerably. And that is the clean energy credits have been eliminated. That one hurts. What this bill does is basically eliminate the tax credits, the federal tax credits that developers and individuals can receive by spending money on clean energy initiatives. And any project that's not underway by July 1, 2026, there are no more incentives after that date. Now, I'm a firm believer that using tax policy to impact areas of the economy and areas of society where capital investment will make a difference, that to me, that's the use of these tax incentives. And I can't think of anything that could make more of a difference than helping deal with these changing weather patterns that we're all present to at this moment. In fact, last week's episode was how changing weather patterns have impacted us as self-storage owners around insurance costs that are spiraling out of control, and many insurers are no longer insuring in certain parts of the country. And the previous administration, regardless of what you thought about them, the Inflation Reduction Act generated, at least in my state alone, billions and billions of dollars worth of infrastructure and factories and manufacturing going in place producing clean energy, such as plants and EV battery power plants. We have one manufacturing facility within an hour's drive of where I'm sitting here that is so big you can see it from satellites in outer space. It not only produces batteries for EV cars, it employed thousands of people building it. There were 10,000 engineers setting up the assembly line in there. It employs thousands and thousands of people. It had a profound impact on the economic impact on the counties surrounding it. And all of this was from the Inflation Reduction Act. On a more personal note, in the storage business, many of the boat and RV developments that, for example, Baja built over the years, and many of the developers in Toy Nation Storage, which has been such an important part of the storage world for the past few years, helping many small investors like myself get into boat and RV development, understanding it, understanding how to use these incentives and how it can impact us. Many of us have underwritten a lot of projects we're contemplating using these tax incentives, which are now gone. In an era of high interest, which may not be coming down as fast as everyone thinks, partially due to the implications of this bill, this was a big loss for us, in my opinion. Maybe we can get someone down the road to restore them. Who knows? Or partially restore them. We'll see. If you've got a project under construction that's going to be impacted by the repeal of these tax incentives, I'd love to hear from you and see what you're doing and if you found any other solutions that could help you. So those are the main parts of the bill. There's a lot in this bill, and there's a lot of non-tax stuff in this bill. I won't even go there. But overall, like most of life, this bill has trade-offs. It has some good things in it, and it has some things that I don't think are so good. But that's life. I do have a concern overall on the macro level. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm someone who's all in favor of using tax cuts, tax reform, tax incentives to positively affect the economy and certain aspects of the economy that could make a difference for our society as a whole. But the combination of all of the tax cuts are going to drastically reduce the tax revenue, and I don't see where it's being made up. And historically speaking, massive tax cuts have added to the deficit. Just historically speaking, Reagan's tax cuts in the 80s, the Economic Tax Recovery Act of 1981, tripled the deficit by the end of the 1980s. It raised the deficit, went from $1.1 trillion to $2.9 trillion. Bush I's tax cuts, he had two different main bills during his term. His first one, the Tax and Economic Tax Relief Act of 2001, reduced tax revenue by $1.35 trillion over the next 11 years. The deficit rose $100 billion during his term from the tax cuts. President 47's first term, has been estimated by the Committee for Responsible Budgets to have increased the national debt $1.9 trillion between 2017 and 2027. Now, again, I'm not against tax cuts. I'm not against tax incentives. I'm not even against having a debt. I think it's possible to have a national debt, be responsible with that debt. But what I do think is going to happen is the Federal Reserve Board's going to take, and appropriately so, a wait-and-see kind of attitude to see how the massive tax cuts, and this is probably the biggest tax cut bill, at least in my lifetime, I've ever seen, how these tax cuts are going to impact, one, inflation, and two, the deficit. So we're all expecting interest rate reductions over the next 12 months. We'll see. Hopefully we get them. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit if we did. But life is trade-offs. So let's see. This is my interpretation of some of the key aspects of that bill that impact our self-storage industry. I'd be interested in your thoughts. I hope this helped you in your underwriting. And just know, like, I'm keeping the same interest rate that we have now, and I'm not reducing 3, 5, 7 year refinance periods by very much at all in our interest rate, as I'm doing future performance, looking into the future. That's one way that this bill has impacted my underwriting. Hope to hear from you. Just my thoughts, and I could be wrong. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is the financial analysis tool, or one of them, that we use as we're projecting these future cash flows, and we put in what our future interest rates are going to be. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week.